This is the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today is Sam Sparks. Sam's a diversified producer from South Texas, right on the border. We'll talk with Sam Sparks in just a moment. First off, Greg McBride is a broker with Allendale, talks about mill buying and actual cotton export numbers.
I don't know if that's necessarily going to come into play. We've got some time to sort that out. But you know, the mills will play some games later on in the year where we see some movement there. But I think the biggest thing that from what we've seen so far is that demand is there. It's a matter of filling those orders. And we say the same thing on corn and soybeans all the time. You know, we can lock it in all the time. At some point, does it get shipped on this year's marketing? Maybe, but if it doesn't and it is a legitimate sale, we'll roll it out to the new year.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Sam Sparks. Sam is with SRS Farms in Mercedes, Texas. So good to see you.
It's great to be here.
Okay, this is kind of cool. We're actually in a gin on the historic King Ranch. And, you know, just when we talk about the King Ranch, that really exemplifies ag in Texas in a roundabout way, doesn't it?
That's very true. It's not only an impressive facility, but just the history that's involved here and the King Ranch and what they do from not only cattle operation, but also row crops. You know, it's just crops as far as the eye can see, so it's really neat.
So let's talk about SRS Farms. Give us the background, and I know this isn't first generation either.
That's right. I'm third generation farmer at SRS Farms. We grow cotton, corn, grain sorghum, sesame, soybeans, and sugarcane.
And if I remember correctly, is it time to harvest the cane?
Yeah, we're actually nearing the end of our sugarcane harvest. Should be done in, I don't know, maybe a week to 10 days from now. But we just got finished planting all of our row crops. Our cotton's in the ground and up in the 3 to 4 true leaf stage. Corn's up out of the ground and looking really pretty. We've got some beans out of the ground, and everything's off to a good start.
For those, and when we talk about diversified, when you're in Texas, that is truly a diversified operation, because we just don't see sugarcane grown in many other areas of the state. For those who really don't know that, how does sugarcane work into a rotation? How does it? I mean, you don't run a cotton stripper out through the sugarcane, so obviously there's some difference.
That's right. Sugar is a very important part of our operation. The mill was built and established around 1973, and we've been part of the co-op. We've been members of the co-op. We've been growers in the co-op since its inception, and so it's very important to us. We usually rotate the sugar cane out with cotton. We'll follow our cane crop with cotton. We usually get 3 to 5 years of harvest from the original stubble that's planted. And it's just an exciting crop to grow. It's a different season other than the rest of our row crops, and so it works well for us.
So let's talk about your operation as well. You're basically, literally, you're on the border, right?
Yes, that's true. Our farm headquarters is in Mercedes, in between Santa Rosa and Weslaco. But we also have a pretty historic little piece of farmland down on the Rio Grande River. It's comprised of about 1,800 acres, all in one area. And there's actually two pieces on our farm where you can stand and look north into Mexico.
Border wall, we've heard a lot about that. Is there a border wall?
Yes, there's a pretty significant stretch of border wall in our area. Unfortunately for us, to the east of our farm, we have a couple of miles of wall, and we have maybe about a mile section of open, no border wall, before you see another 4 or 5 miles of contiguous wall to our west. So we're kind of in a what we call a little funnel. So any traffic per se that's coming across, whether it's illegal or just, you know, farm traffic, we don't have any wall.
That obviously presents some challenges, but if I understand correctly, there was work going on. What happened when that work stopped? Tell us more about
that. Yeah, we really don't know. It's kind of an eye-opener to see the government at work. With the previous administration, the plan was to fill in that gap where our property is with no wall and finish out so we have a continuous piece of wall in Cameron County. And they were working hard to get that done. And now with the new administration, they have ceased all border wall projects, which I guess is all fine, except for the fact that they had done significant improvements on our property in preparation for building the wall, and they've just walked away from it. No one at DOJ, Army Corps of Engineers, will even give us any answers as far as returning our property to its original state when they found it.
Does it present some challenges for growing? And because you do have irrigation.
Yes, absolutely. It's really thrown us a curveball because where the border wall was going, we have about 4,800 feet of irrigation pipeline underground where the wall footing was going to be installed. And so it jeopardized our irrigation system. So all of the property that we irrigate to the north of that, or where the wall was going to be, essentially now has no irrigation until it's repaired and fixed. And that's the challenge that we face today is we need some answers from the government to get that line fixed so that we can continue our farming practices.
We focused on some challenges here. We've talked about some exciting things going on, and seeing your excitement when you talk about sugarcane is pretty cool, but there's some things that you're excited and optimistic about as we look down the road. Maybe it's this year, maybe it's next year, maybe it's 5 or 10 years down the road, but what keeps you going?
I'm really excited about the future of agriculture. I think, you know, with everything going on in our country right now, we're just now starting to see people recognizing the fact of our food is important. Our food quality is important. The availability of our food is very important. And so I think you're going to see farmers recognized in a different manner moving forward. We're going to be held in hopefully a higher regard, and you know, people maybe show us a little bit more respect for what we do day in and day out to make sure that food is on their table.
Do you think it's maybe a misconception by the public because you're not out telling your story every day and being very public about it, that you've got something to hide? Do they maybe miss the fact that you're working so hard you don't have time?
Yeah, I think the general public misses out on you know, what's going out in the fields from a production standpoint, mainly because farmers make up less than 2% of the population. So we're essentially a needle in a haystack. So when it comes to sharing our voice or speaking our voice, we just don't have the opportunity to do so.
So I know you're involved in quite a few organizations, cotton organizations. You're involved in Farm Bureau. How many different organizations have you been able to carve out a little bit of time to give to give back to?
It's tough. You know, I've been asked by several different organizations to get involved, and when you're asked, you feel obligated. It's your opportunity to share your voice and your voice of your neighbors and your friends. And you know, we as farmers, we may be producers, you know, in different parts of the nation, but we're collectively working together for the same goal. And so you feel obligated to take part in those organizations and represent agriculture as a whole.
But obviously you can't do all of those who want some of your time. So you need some help. What words would you give to a producer who's hearing this right now that really hasn't gotten involved? Maybe they don't feel qualified. Maybe they don't feel like they have time. What's your word to them?
I would say you need to step out of your comfort zone. This is not my comfort zone as well, and you just need to see it as an opportunity to be a voice for agriculture. And, you know, for anyone to think that they're not qualified, you are. If you are sowing seed in the soil and producing a crop, you're definitely qualified.
Covered a lot of ground, and I know you've got crops to get back home to and to tend to. We wish you the best, and not just a great 2022, but great future. Thanks for what you do.
Thank you so much.
Again, it's Sam Sparks with SRS Farms in Mercedes, and he joins us on today's Agribusiness Report.
Beef cattle producers, survival is not enough. Prosperity is our goal. And the 2022 Beef Cattle Conference in Canadian, Texas, Tuesday and Wednesday, April 26th and 27th, will provide you the information you need to prosper during these turbulent times. Get your tickets now to see former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and 10 other experts share their vision for your future. Call 806-323-9114. That's 323-9114. Call now. Seating is limited.
Cotton growers, take out yield-robbing nematodes with an in-furrow application of Averland FC from Vive Crop Protection. A cost-effective solution, Averland FC fights early-season nematodes for healthier seedlings and stronger plant stands. Averland FC is the only abamectin product registered in-furrow for nematodes in cotton, and it's compatible with other crop inputs. To learn more, talk to your retailer or visit vivecrop.com. Averland FC is a restricted-use product. Read and follow label instructions.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Reese Langley's with the National Cotton Council talks about the next farm bill.
As we look ahead, as far as any real work on developing the new farm bills, we know that's probably not going to happen until early next year. So we've got to get through the midterm elections. So as far as the question of the likelihood of being able to adjust reference prices or other support levels, you know, I think there are several factors that come into play that we've got to watch and wait and see how those come out. Obviously, one, again, is going to be the outcome of the elections, who's in control next year, who is the leadership of the agriculture committees in the House and Senate, and then also, what are the conditions in the ag economy at the time? Are we still looking at these elevated input prices? Are commodity prices still where they are? Or how have those adjusted, say, a year from now? Because I really think it'll be about this time next year when the hard work will start being done by the committees in trying to write the new farm bill. But the biggest challenge, as we all know, is just the fact that, you know, we're probably looking at having to write a farm bill with a level budget baseline, so not any new money to be added. And if that's the case, then what can the committees do to try to find some savings maybe within the existing farm bill to be able to adjust those support levels? And again, all that, the cost of doing that is a function of where commodity prices are at the time and where they're projected to be over the coming years. So a lot of variables there. But I think if I had to say today, it's going to be very difficult for the committees to be able to do that, because I think today they're probably looking at writing a new farm bill with level funding or no new money.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
At Golden Harvest, our best skill is knowing how to listen. From our Gold Series soybean and game-changing corn portfolios to our expert insights housed in the Illuminate Digital Agronomy platform, everything we offer is an answer to what we've heard from you. This is how we listen.
Copyright 2021 Syngenta. The trademarks or service marks used herein are the property of a Syngenta Group company. All other trademarks are the property of their respective owners.
United Ag is one of the largest association health plans to offer healthcare benefits for the agricultural industry. Their mission is to bring innovative healthcare solutions to agriculture by meeting their members' employee benefit needs. Join today and take advantage of the premier benefits offered by United Ag. United Ag is committed to contributing to a strong and healthy ag industry. For more information or to join, visit www.unitedag.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today, Sam Sparks from Mercedes, Texas.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
It's simple. You want better, more nutritious feed? Start with a better, more impressive baler. Introducing the new Massey Ferguson 4100V RB series of silage balers. They're the kind of rugged, hard-working machines you can count on to handle everything your operation demands season after season. Work faster in more conditions on more crop types. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
This is the Agribusiness Report.
Colorado, Alaska, Iowa. Indiana.
That's Mitch Landrieu, the White House coordinator for the bipartisan infrastructure law implementation, listing a few of the states where officials are going to be visiting rural communities over the next few weeks as part of the rural infrastructure tour.
To highlight how President Biden's bipartisan infrastructure law investments will reach all communities in rural America.
The tour launched on Monday with a trip to Colorado by Interior Secretary Deb Haaland. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack was looking forward to being on that trip.
But as you all know, I'm quarantined here in Iowa.
But he told reporters he's still excited about what the bill can do for rural America.
This is the most significant investment in rural people and places probably since the Depression. And I think this tour is going to allow us to make sure that people are not only aware of these investments, but we're going to make sure that rural America takes full and complete advantage of this historic opportunity.
The infrastructure bill had $14.5 billion aimed specifically for rural programs. Gary Crawford, Washington.